We thank you, Lord. The Master is here. The one who said, upon this rock, I shall build my church. He is here. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Our worship is not a form of entertainment before the word is preached. Worship is made to honor God. Not for what he has done, but for who he is. Title of the message is, We Were Saved for Worship. We were saved for worship. Isaiah 6, please. Isaiah reads, In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord, high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphim, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. And they were calling to the one another, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of His glory. We have received salvation through grace and faith. As we are continually being saved into sanctification and the crucifixion of Christ, is that we were saved to worship God. We were saved to declare and decree heaven on earth. How were we saved to declare this? Firstly, I'll start with, what does declare, or when we make declaration, what do we mean? To declare is to make known, is to set forth an account. You make known something. When you get to the international borders, they ask you, Sir, Madam, do you have anything to declare before you can fly off? Any weapons, any poison, any limits that you have passed, any electronics you declare at the border before you can cross over to another country. So what did salvation do for us is that we declare what we already have. What do we have? We have salvation. We have the righteousness of God. I can call myself the righteousness of God because Jesus died on the cross for me. That is what I have. I have the promises of God. I have the life of God in me. I have eternal life. It is what I have. Heaven is my home. The Almighty is my Father. I have that. It is mine, and Satan cannot take it from me. I have the light of God in me. I am actually the salt and the light of this earth. And what is declaration? I mean decree. Decree is to cause heaven truth to manifest on earth.
Decree is to cause heaven truth to manifest on earth. What does it mean? It means that the heaven place, according to Matthew 6:10, let your will be done as in heaven, on earth as it is in heaven. What do I mean? I mean, if I make a spiritual decree, like how we do in church, I decree healing for sickness. I don't have healing, but I know the one who heals is Jesus Christ. He's the one who has the healing. And I get the healing and enforce it or decree it over a person to receive it. There is a situation of poverty. To me as a Christian, what does that mean? It means I decree provision for poverty that I see. I will not sit around and say, oh shame, somebody must do something. That means I pull the heaven realm into the earth. And I make sure that as the soldier in the army of the Lord, that decree is enforced. What is a decree? In the olden days, the kings used to write a decree. When they wrote a decree, the messenger will travel with a decree to another country to go and say, this is what the king says. So today, the King of Heaven says something about me spiritually in promises, not in material things. We are of the Spirit. We are the children of God living on this earth. The Bible tells us that we are not of this earth. We are operating in a kingdom lifestyle. Our lifestyle portrays who and what God is. When one sees me, they should see a billboard of God. They should see a representative of the kingdom of heaven. Now, when a decree is written, the messenger takes it to another country to deliver the message of the king. It is sealed with a signet ring. It cannot be broken unless it is broken by another authority on the other side. We can recall that in the olden time, a king was given a garment or a crown. A crown. A prophet was given a garment. A priest was given a robe. Those were elements of authority. So today, that authority and power is in us that God has given. And in us, He has given all three at a go. He has called us that you are a king of your house, and you are a royal priesthood, and you've been anointed to be a prophet to speak and decree things into being. So today, we are stuck in a situation that we cannot get out of because we do not know the opposite of what that system that has been laid down as a law to speak against it. Because if we know the opposite of poverty, we know that His glorious riches in Christ Jesus will give a provision, and that is our inheritance. We received that when we received Jesus Christ into our life. So the Lord says, decree a thing, and it shall come to pass. My word would not leave my lips and come back to me without accomplishing what I have sent it out to do. So God, not that He cannot move, because the Bible tells me in, I think, Psalm 62, it says, once it was spoken, twice I've heard, that all power belongs to God. So the power is with Him. We have to get that power and authority and dominion from Him and use it as a key. For Him to give us a seal of the Holy Spirit after we have received Jesus Christ, it is a seal to tell us that He has approved us and we are worthy to have the Holy Spirit and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Not for power demonstration, but because when power of God is demonstrated or manifest on the earth, He and only Him is glorified. Him and only Him is worshipped and not man. There was a man who knelt before Paul and Paul said, I am a man just like you. Do not worship me He tore his clothes and said, this worship does not belong to me. But today in church, we have elders that wants to be worshipped. We have elders that do not attend an intercession. They say intercession is for women. Then the men will make decisions where the church must go. God wants his church back. Because the first place he's going to deal with is judgment in the church. It's not judgment outside the church. It's judgment in the church. So it is time for us to search deeply and thoroughly inside. What were we saved for? We were saved for worship. Worship causes us to look unto God. Not to us, to look unto God. And we say, holy, 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 thou art worthy of the honor and the glory and the praise. Only God is worthy of the worship. In my growing up in Christianity, I never wanted to be an elder. Do you know why? The Bible tells me in Revelation 4:10 that the 24 elders are sitting around the throne of God. And there are angels next to them. And there are living creatures as well next to them. I don't know how those living creatures look like. I never wanted to find out. And it means that if I'm an elder in the church and I get something wrong, I'm so close to God that he will hit me right there because I'm here just saying, holy, holy, holy. You go and look at the book of Titus, it talks about that overseer and the elder in the church. And it says, I'll just quote a little bit. It says, an elder is above reproach. What does that mean? You can't tell me you made a mistake. It means you are above reproach. Here is reproach, you are above reproach. Meaning you see the mistake before it comes to you. No, he's just a human being. No, he's above reproach. He's an elder. Do you know why they're not supposed to make a mistake? They are so close to God that even when he's snoring, I know God doesn't sleep. Even when he's snoring, they can hear him. Even when God is ignoring your prayer, they say, we have heard the words of the righteous. And you said the righteous cry and you hear them. Holy, holy, we thank you. Do it for him. All power and glory belongs to you. So being an elder was very scary for me. Even being a teacher. Because James 3:1 says, they will be dealt with more strictness. Because they are supposed to know the word in and out and apply it accordingly. Thank God for grace. Thank God for grace. Number two, we worship, or worship causes us to look at ourselves. Isaiah 6, verse 4. Worship breaks us down. It breaks us down to honor the mercy, the love, the forgiveness, the grace, the blessings, and the favor of God that is upon our lives. At the sound of their voices, the seraphim, the doorpost and the thresholds, hook and the temple was filled with smoke. Whenever you are in a church service, when you see the presence of the Holy Spirit, sometimes it comes as a matter of smoke. When we were worshiping, I felt the wind of the Holy Spirit coming in. Woe to me. Now, this is me looking at myself during worship. What worship causes me to do is to woe unto me. I cried. I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips. And I live among a people of unclean lips. That tells me that you are not worthy to be a child of God. And my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. After I look at him, I don't only just look at him. The worship also calls me to look at myself. Because God is spirit. So spirit communicates with spirit. Heart communicates with heart. Ezekiel 36:26, he speaks about the heart of stone being changed into a fleshy heart and a heart of a new spirit. It means heart and spirit are intertwined and interchangeable. That they are the ones that speak to the Lord. There are some people that you see, they are worshiping with their mouth, but they are not worshiping with their hearts. And God says, anyone who must worship me in truth and in spirit. According to John 4:24. So there is no way that you can worship the Lord in truth without having the spirit of truth that dwells in you and changes your heart to the heart of a spirit, and you are able to praise the Lord and worship Him. Worship is not a trained mechanism. We don't walk in and it's a program and then they say at 9 o'clock we worship. Whether you are here or not, there's worship. And then if you come 9:30, worship is finished. You can't worship. You can worship. It does not only involve singing. It involves how you portray when you look at the Lord, high and mighty, highly lifted up. And you say, our God is greater, higher than any other situation that I might have or any situation that is on earth that I do not understand. He is our God. Isaiah 6:6. Worship also causes us to look at others. How do we look at others? You cannot selfishly be worshiping God and you come and tell me that the Lord has sent you to pray for China or Brazil for the people are suffering, but yet you do not greet your neighbor. The cross is a two-way system. You look unto God and you serve the people horizontally to make the cross. If you only do one of them, you have failed to communicate the message of the cross. And the gospel will not reach where it needs to reach. Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth and said, see, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? And I said, here I am, send me. He said, go and tell this people, be ever hearing but never understanding, be ever seeing but never perceiving. Make the heart of this people closed, make their ears dull and close their eyes. Otherwise they might see with their eyes and hear with their ears, understand with their hearts and turn and be healed. Otherwise they might see with their eyes. What else are we supposed to see with? Let me quickly say this. In all our seeing, or in all the perfect sight that we have, we need a vision. Because without a vision, the eyes cannot see. They don't function. Hence, we have the famous vision 2020 being related to the year 2020. It means you can see, but you don't have a sight. Right? I'm not talking about nothing against people with glasses. This is spiritual. I'm talking about spiritual level. And I know I have a matured crowd. I'm talking about spiritual level. If you only use the eyes to see how the neighbor is like, neighbor is anybody who is not you. That means somebody next to you. If we use the eyes to see what the neighbor is like, what they do and all of those things, we will miss the vision God has over their lives. we will not be able to worship God by saving others. Because that's also one of the aspects and principles of worship. I don't know, but I'm sensing that the Lord wants to do a new healing through worship. Thank you, Lord. Worship calls us to a deeper place with God, in His presence, and in His Shekinah glory. Shekinah glory is an instant glory. We don't have to toil and work for it. The moment you say, you are holy, His glory drops down. And that glory fills the temple. In the book of Exodus, the Israelites said, we would not leave, Lord. We will not travel unless if only your presence will go with us. May this generation today revive to say that we need that Shekinah glory of God to go with us and will not move. As I see in the realm of the Spirit, many churches today, they have every structure and program in place. But if we were to use the cloud or the pillar of cloud, we will not see any cloud next to the church building. And if we were to go there by night, we will not see the pillar of fire on those churches. Every church, I am not talking about a building, I am also talking about us being the temple of God. Do we move when God calls us to move? In worship. Because in Him there is fullness of joy. We want His presence. Let us thirst and yearn for His presence forevermore. Forever is a long time, but that's how long God wants us to go with Him. Because we are neither confined by the time system of this earth. We are of the spiritual law. So when we honor that spiritual law and declare and decree, things start to happen. Because we decree the will of God on earth. We decree according to the declaration, knowing who we are. Because if you don't know that you have the power to write a decree, then you wouldn't know to declare who you are. Many of other people we see they are failing because they've been told who the enemy is, but they have never been told who they are. So they fail to recognize an identity and find an identity in Christ because they don't know who they are. They know all the mannerisms and actions of the enemy. They know if I see somebody sweeping at night, they are doing witchcraft. They know superstition. We are not Christians of superstitions. Something is not right, we enforce the decree of the Lord over it. Is your faith low? We pray for you. Jesus prayed for Peter. He said, Peter, the enemy sifts. He wants to sift you. But I have prayed for your faith so that you may be strengthened. We have one mediator, Jesus Christ. He has done that already. He is praying for our faith. What do we do? Walk in the authority of who we are called to be, a peculiar nation. Worship. It leads us to get to God, not to get what God has. It leads us to get to God, not to get what God has. That's what worship leads us to. That's why we cry. Because when we get there, we realize, like Isaiah, it's woe unto me, for I'm a man of unclean lips. For I look with my natural eyes and don't look with my spiritual eyes to see, Lord, what is your purpose over this one's life. So when I saw the declaration and I heard the prophetic word, I cried because I struggled with telling God who He is. And I realized that I need to know who He is. I need to know more. That's what worship does. It draws you into more of His presence. Because when you are there, you know who He is. When you see someone, you can say, that person is a male or a female, because you can see them. And the more they draw closer, you can see they're wearing this color of a shirt and this color of shoes. So when I heard the declaration and I heard your prophetic word, I said, this is exactly what the Lord spoke. And I struggled with it. I had to fight for it. Because the enemy would say, no, you cannot. Worship will still remain something that is sacred to me, that got me fired from heaven. So why should you come and preach about it? Why should you lay bare the heart of Jesus Christ to the people for them to see what worship means to Him? That's why Romans 12 says that, here I am, Lord, I'm paraphrasing, that I am a living sacrifice. Accept me as a living sacrifice. Psalm 141:2 says that, at the lifting of my hands in the evening, let it be an incense and let it be a prayer unto you. Sometimes you don't have to say a word. Just raise your hands and say, Lord. And the moment you raise your hands, your heart opens up. And the train of His glory fills your body and fills the atmosphere that you'll be around. And you come out and you feel that that was worship. And I did not even say a word. I thank you. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for open eyes, open ears. Thank you for strong spinal cords. Thank you for new joints, new feelings. Thank you for restoration. And thank you for your healing as we decreed on this earth as it is in heaven. We honor you and we magnify your holy name. Open our hearts today, Lord. Fill us in, Holy Spirit. Baptize us with your glory. Baptize us with your presence. And thank you for the angels that have come to do the work of God. We honor you, Lord, and we say all honor and glory belongs to you. In Jesus' name, amen.